G.I. Joe Sigma 6, codename for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma
6,
be a hero.
G.I.
Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best. Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast that's doing G.I. Joe for some reason. I don't know. This is known as half the podcast. I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And I'm TV's Race to Canis.
We're tired of waiting for you to get done with your
this
bullshit.
This is outrageous to me. Look, just because I want to monologize about a scary tabletop miniature games and how I'd like to play them and how I've been building up models and terrain and scenery, and I want to do this big game night thing, just because I've been talking about that for the last half hour straight, how is that different than you just interrupting my intros over and over and over again?
I mean, honestly, I just wanted to, like, mix up the start here. Just kind of inject a little chaos into the mix.
This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and today we're talking about an episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6, 2 weeks in a row. Somebody stop us. Literally, we can't do too many G.I. Joes in a row. This Sigma 6 has been a little bit difficult, I would say. We're back, you know, Extreme feels like a, you know, feels like an auto meadow at this point, doesn't it? Like, Extreme was delightful compared to some of what we're dealing with right now.
This is
said last week that you're feeling this show.
I was feeling the intro.
And no, go to the tapes. You said last week that you were feeling it. I was saying, and my response was, I'm not feeling it. I just find it boring, like more so than other ones of the past. I find this one kind of boring.
I respect that this one has a take. I don't like the take. I don't like what's happening. But I'm like,
what
all right, at least they're doing something.
What is the same?
Yeah, what is the take?
Every episode to me is like exactly the same, with the exception of, like, it feels like they write a new intro. Like, they're like, hey, this week is going to be this thing. And then it just goes right back to same old playbook.
I mean, they're doing anime. They're doing what if G.I. Joe were like, really cheaply ported over anime, you know, and so that has all of the limitations of like a poor dub. And it's like, on a certain level, like it's kind of fun.
On a certain level, it is kind of fun. It is. There's a certain joy that comes from it. Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. And look, I'm just going to put it out there right now. This is a Tunnel Rat featured episode, so that's why I'm so unhappy after it was done, because Tunnel Rat, as we all know, is the Edward from Cowboy Bebop of G.I. Joe Sigma 6, and therefore should be jettisoned out of an airlock at literally the first minute of any episode.
Tunnel Rat, Ed is the best. Tunnel Rat, the
worst character,
needs to be doled out in small amounts, very small amounts, and this is far too much.
Yeah, this is like a cake with like 90% frosting. It's like,
I'm not gonna lie, like this for the first like 2 minutes of this episode, I was excited that they were doing something different.
Sure, I did too. Then, yeah, I get you.
And then they immediately, and also in the first 2 minutes, there's not that much Tunnel Rat. And then they're like, I feel like they lured me in with like a false sense of security. Like, they're like, hey, this is going to be a different kind of episode. Also, like, Tunnel Rat's here, but he's like just sort of in the background being that annoying friend that you hope to avoid at a dinner party.
And you were like,
and then like
the theme song starts and you're hoping it would be like Holiday Row.
I was definitely hoping that.
Right.
Is more singing really what you people want out there?
Listen,
are you not convinced the other way now?
This episode basically starts with them being like, hey, you know, like maybe Destro's getting a power stone, but we can't really do anything about it. So we're going to take a vacation. And what I wanted to see was like them on vacation and a totally non-Cobra related thing goes wrong. And then it's this like elite tactical force in Vegas as someone's like trying to hold up a casino or something like that.
See, how fun would that be?
Yeah, just a romp that has nothing to do with the rest of it. But instead, they're like, hey, we're going to Vegas. And then Destro shows up at the exact hotel they're staying at, which is ridiculous.
It's pretty bad. Look, I wouldn't even mind just a full character piece. Like, they're in Vegas. What kind of adventures does the Joe team have in Vegas? You know, we don't even necessarily have to have a deep plot, but maybe, like, one of them wins a bunch of money, gets the eye of, like, the wrong gangster. And, you know, and, like, there's a lot of different takes on Vegas you could have. Why does Cobra necessarily have to be involved with the Power Stones?
You literally
every
just said the same thing I said. You literally just said the same thing I said. I said it in you a, used different a different way. Example.
Thank you. Totally different.
Oh no, my
but
God.
I think you're exactly. But here's the deal. So the episode begins with our cold open, which is Destro has a Power Stone, as you said. We're here in Vegas and we're not really sure where he is. Now, to me, that means we should go find him. But to the Joe team, that means let's take a vacation.
I thought the whole idea was, air quotes, we're going we're taking some R&R, and I thought that meant like, okay, everybody, like, we're going undercover.
Yes, get dressed down. That's what I thought too. Yeah.
And then Tunnel Rat was like, no, I'm on vacation, I refuse to work. I'm like, the fuck is happening here?
That was, we'll get there when we get there. That was some annoying shit.
Everything about him is annoying. He's annoying on the vacation, he's annoying on the mission, he's annoying when they're getting ready for dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would have been funny if this whole episode was just them trying to ditch him in Vegas.
Now that's an episode.
And him just tracking them down.
Oh my God. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Well, anyway, intro. Now we don't have all the extra garbage in the intro. Like, what is going on with the intro of this show? The last episode, there was all this extra footage, extra. Did they just have less to do in the episode and they had to pad out the intro to make up for it? I don't know. And no one will tell me. Vegas, baby. We're here in Vegas. And Tunnel Rat's fashion. Tunnel Rat thinks he looks really good. He looks like one of the guys from Dumb and Dumber when they do the dress up. He looks absolutely terrible.
I mean, isn't he just wearing like sort of an open kimono?
Whoa.
Yes. And it's real strange.
Yeah, like, it's strange, but like everyone else is also dressed very strangely.
But he's wearing
strangely.
like a pants and a tux shirt underneath it, and I think that's a bow tie.
He looks like a clown. He looks like an absolute clown.
I mean, Heavy Duty is wearing like an SNL puffy shirt and like a top hat, which is also insane.
He looks good as hell. I loved how he looked.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. If I could pull off a top hat. You goddamn right I would pull off a top hat. Like 70% of my steampunk aesthetic is just because I'm wearing a fucking top hat. And if I got to put goggles on it, so be it.
Yeah, he does. He does look good. I will say the one who looks the best in this episode is fucking Destro. When he's on that elevator, styling.
Okay, I have thought. Well, hold on a sec. Because one of the big plot points of the first half of this episode is that Scarlet comes out like dressed to the nines. And every member of the Joe team just is like, I want to have sex with that.
That is uncomfortable.
And also, and it's like so sad because she like, I do not like this Scarlet because they're all staring at her. And I feel like old Scarlet would be like, pick your jaws up from the ground, boys. Yep. Like, let's fucking go have fun. And instead she's like, what is something wrong? Does it not look okay? Should I change? Do I look bad? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like I don't like this. And again, having watched a lot of Sailor Moon, this is kind of an anime thing where they're like, oh my gosh, do I not look okay? Like, what are you looking at? But just, it's not, I want some old school Scarlet here. Who's just like, if you keep staring at me like that, I'm going to kick your ass. And then all of a sudden, you know, I want like fucking Snake Eyes to come in and then them to flirt. There was no Snake Eyes in this episode.
There was Snake Eyes in this episode, but
we'll talk about that in a hot second.
Yes.
They the two that are like kind of flirty?
Well, it depends. In comic books, it's Scarlet and Snake Eyes.
Hold on.
In the cartoon show, it's her and Duke.
Gina just said the real world. In the real world.
In the non-Sigma 6 world. The real world of series 1, G.I. Joe.
They do not treat Snake Eyes like somebody who deserves a relationship. So clearly if she'd end up with somebody, it's Duke. But also she's like 13 years old, so no thank you.
Yeah, I also don't like this. I don't know why some of the dudes can look like adults, but she can't. It's I don't like it.
The problem is because we're doing anime, they chose the magical girl trope for Scarlet, which would be fine if they had a second female character in there to sort of balance it out. Like, let's have like a, you know, like a tough rough and tumble, or, you know, Cowboy Bebop, you know, you've got a dope ass female character there that you could make another
amazing character.
Yeah. Make Cover Girl the magical girl. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then you have like Scarlet as fucking Valentine, where she's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
I don't like that there are no strong women in this show. I don't like that there are no women that look like adults and are adulting in any way.
It's an anime trope, though, unfortunately. Disturbing. I mean, right,
but there are other anime tropes, too, and they chose this one.
Okay,
and
fair enough.
Didn't choose any others.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. They know what fucking Cowboy Bebop is because goddamn Heavy Duty and Tunnel Rat are straight from Cowboy Bebop.
They are straight from Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, yes, they could even it out. They could, if they had two female characters, Chan's right. They could have evened it out. But the fact that she's the only one, and they're in a hotel room, and she comes out, and they're all like staring at her in the creepiest way, and like Tunnel Rat especially is not even trying to hide it. It's just like super gross. I mean, the only thing I can say is at least like Duke isn't hitting on her since he's like her superior, I guess, but.
Yeah. Well, also Duke. Now, Duke is wearing like what I consider like a perfectly acceptable polo shirt. And
no, he is the whitest man alive. Yeah, and I say that in not a good way.
No, whatever.
Yeah,
he's
but
Duke.
That's their point. His point is, I think I look fine. And they're like, you look like the whitest dude alive, dude. Like, add some. He is unseasoned chicken in this scene.
Yes.
But then put him in some of the. I don't know the best way to express
most
it.
Most normal, very cool outfits.
Very Chan-like clothes.
They put him in the most West Hollywood outfit they could have possibly put him in.
Oh, Ray.
Oh, please.
No, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, like Hawaiian floral pants, and and like Elton John glasses that are like hearts, pink hearts.
That's not a clue?
The glasses put it over the edge, but the rest of the outfit is much better than what he was wearing.
Terrible looking.
I could get prescription progressive lenses in a like a heart-shaped outfit like that, you goddamn right I would wear that.
And Ray, you're not the most like fashionable dude, so it makes sense that the first outfit, which is essentially just shirt and pants, that you were like, these are clothes.
It's
yes
neutral.
And then the second outfit is, well, he's clearly a homosexual.
I mean,
because there are colors.
Yeah, that's why Ray didn't like it, because he was like, I would totally wear a white man's flavorless outfit before I would make anyone think I was one of the gays.
Let me tell you, that is not Duke's personality. Duke's
keep digging yourself in deeper here, man.
Is Wonder Bread and a 2% whole milk. That is who Duke
point.
Is.
They're when trying you put to get him out of his comfort zone. The whole point of this scene is them being like, hey, you're on vacation. Try not to be fucking boring Duke for a little while. That's the whole point.
He does not look good to me. This is not Duke. And maybe your point
it makes
is
sense
still
that
valid.
You
That's
hate
fine.
Homosexuals.
That
yeah.
is
you
not
want
even
any,
close to true.
This feels
you don't
like a
want
hate
your
crime.
Straight characters to be even slightly. You're like, this is why you hate, I assume, Russell Brand and Wayne Brady.
Russell Brand and Wayne Brady.
No, Russell Brand is very like sexually fluid in every movie that he's been in. So he wears very like, you know,
he doesn't dress like Duke did in this episode ever.
Have you ever seen? I think he dresses almost exactly like that in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I've never seen that movie.
Okay.
I've seen him in The Easter Bunny and he didn't dress like that.
The what?
Also, like, animated? What? Russell Brand is like on the outs list right now, so I don't know why we're bringing him up as a quality example here. I'm just saying, like,
you want your dudes to be dudes and not dress
I want Duke to be true to himself, and I feel like this outfit
is not true to himself because the other characters give him a makeover. If he had come out wearing this in the first place, you could make that argument. But the fact that he came out in a boring outfit and the rest of them were like, hey, man, we need to spice this up. So don't claim that it's some character thing because he didn't make the choice to wear it. They put him
in it. It's time you had a makeover. Luckily, the hotel's got a stylist on call.
He got a makeover.
Thank you.
They do the stylist.
From a stylist. Who was creepy. That stylist was like 50 yards behind him, and then every shot he was getting closer and closer until finally they were like, he was like on top of him. That was crazy, right?
That was awesome. Crazy.
It was kind of great. Yeah, I also enjoyed it. All right, we all agree on that at least. Okay, moving forward. Scarlett's going to dance, but Scarlett doesn't dance, which I'm already like, get BS out of here. Scarlett is a karate expert who clearly could dance.
Yeah.
I did not like that plot point where she's too shy to dance.
No self-confidence at all. And I hate that they took a character that was like, I mean, I would maybe buy that she was like, well, I grew up doing karate. I didn't dance, but hey, let me give it a shot. And then is like awesome at it or something, but to not even try. And then also, I don't like the way after they were like ogling her in the room, I don't really like the way Heavy Duty just fucking grabs her hand.
Nope, not at all.
Didn't like it.
That was
like, if someone did that to me, I would be like, you fuck the fuck right off. Like a giant man that just grabbed me and pulled me onto the dance floor. Like, I am pepper spraying you.
Yeah. And Tunnel Rat asks her to dance, and then Heavy Duty asks her to dance first, and then Tunnel Rat asks her to dance. And then he's like, Heavy Duty already asked me. There we go. Is that a cat meowing in the background? What is going on?
Yeah.
That is the loudest cat in history. Did you give that cat a boombox and a megaphone? What is happening? Oh, now you don't want to talk anymore. Whatever, cat.
My kid was bad. That cat wants on in the worst way.
Yeah, wow. That's a needy cat right there. Gina, come on, man.
No, he's an old man and he has peeing problems now. So when he uses the litter box, he wants me to know that he's peeing.
All right, cry me a river, all right? We all are old men with peeing problems.
Ew.
What?
That's because you drink 90 bottles of soda, so your urethra is just crystals.
Oh, I need to get that cat surgery. Okay, we find Destro, and Destro is dressed for Vegas, and
yeah, I love it.
It both made me very happy and very angry at the same time. Made me happy because I love seeing characters in different outfits that represent their personalities in a real way, and in this case, Destro is living his best life. However, Destro is wearing an open fly shirt, so apparently his skin is also the same color as his mask,
didn't
track with me. At all. He's not a gray alien. Why is he looking like that?
He was wearing a silver shirt under it. Like he like told his like man assistant, like, listen, I want to be a little cash, but I want to match my mask. It's like when women match their face, like women pull their face makeup down so that their neck and their chest aren't different colors than their face.
I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. I've looked at this. I've looked at this and it sure does feel like that. Let me ask you a question.
Am I crazy or was there an episode where there was some sexual tension between, I think it was Destro and Scarlett, like in original G.I. Joe? Or maybe Destro and Lady J? There was some episode where there was like a little bit of sexual tension between Destro and one of the ladies.
Do not recall. But I feel like Destro and Scarlett would be something that would sort of like.
There is. And Gene, I know what you're talking about. There's an episode Destro kidnaps Scarlett. They're in a flying, like a plane of some kind. And she, I think it's in one of the early, five part episodes. Maybe Pyramid of Darkness, maybe Weather Dominator, where she uses her feet
over something, right?
Yeah. And they're, Yes. And they're having a moment. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I agree. And I am now.
Yeah, okay. there was like something, I can't remember what they had in common. Maybe it was like dirt. Like he's talking about his ancestral estate, and she's talking about her like southern estate or something. And like they're, I can't quite remember, but I was kind of hoping that that was where this episode went, like would lead. Like I was. Oh, see, this photo looks like he's just wearing a shirt under.
And what does my photo show? Insane. What does my photo show?
You have one from when he's like in uniform, not dressed down casual. Yeah,
this is not his normal uniform. Okay, so here's the deal. The people at home, because podcasts are a very visual medium, Chan has grabbed a screenshot, which is, he looks like Mr. X from the Resident Evil 2 remake, quite honestly, with a cowboy hat, with a too small suit jacket, and a bulging.
But you were trying to say that that was the scene where his gray skin.
You know what? I conflated the two pictures. The second one is him with a disco-era fly collar in his normal uniform, and his entire body is the same color as his mask. And he's wearing a cobra chain around it like he's Flavor Flav. It is outrageous.
It is. Okay, I am trying to wrap my head around this because he's got weird anime physiology, first off. Like
of course.
His shoulders are like 30 feet wide and like he's got like a 16-inch waist. But then like it looks like he is not wearing a shirt. So that does look like his skin, which is gray, the same color as one of his two-tone face. Yeah.
Why is his mask two-tone?
His pecs, like for some reason, there's like a 2-inch gap between each pec muscle.
Oh, what is happening there? Yeah, I see that. Now.
And then like, yeah, the cobra necklace that is over that is... It looks like it's part of him. It doesn't actually look like it's attached to this necklace type deal. It is very strange, and I don't know what they're going for. But it's
okay. So thank you, because this is my biggest issue. Because you're right that I do. He does. I love the fact that he looks like Mr. X. I love the fact that character chases you through Resident Evil 2.
He's styling. Also, like, also, I dig the fact that he's got pleated pants. Pleated pants go out and then come back every few years.
I like it.
When they're in, I don't like them. Then when they come back, I like them. So I like that he opted for pleated pants. He's in Vegas. What I would like to have seen in this episode, because they make such a big deal about how smoking hot Scarlet looks in normal clothes, or like not normal clothes, whatever the insane dress thing that she's wearing in this is. So I would have liked to have seen them go on vacation. Destro is there not for some like giant plot, but for some like business meeting. Like he's meeting with, I don't know, I'm going to say Tomax and Zaymot, maybe. Maybe he's meeting with them and he's giving them a lowdown and saying like, all right, this is what we're doing. And then all of a sudden he's like, I'm in Vegas. I might as well enjoy myself. He gets hammered. Scarlet gets hammered. They sleep together.
Oh man.
They wake up and they just sort of like agree that they shared something, but that it can never be and they'll never tell anyone. And then they meet back up with their friends and everyone's like, whoa, that was a wild night. What did everyone do last night? And Scarlet was like, oh, nothing. And then she like looks off into the distance and then like Cobra Commander's like, did you enjoy your time in Vegas, Destro? And he's like, more than you'll ever know.
This is why Gina needs to be on the new G.I. Joe cartoon show more than ever before. That is wonderful.
I just watched the most recent Transformers where they have the little tag at the end of like, hey, G.I. Joe. Gina should not be on the feature film, but she should be on the subsequent TV show.
Yes.
That I want to say, who would that be? Would it be a sci-fi original? Does sci-fi even exist anymore?
It's going to be a Cartoon Network, Adult Swim. We all know. It's going to happen. Just lean into it.
Well, no, I'm talking about a live action.
Live action. It's not gonna be live action. Like, it's gonna be animated.
Just like USA. Maybe it's USA that.
No, if it was live action, it would be maybe Stars, AMC.
No, definitely not AMC. This isn't an AMC show. This is a little trashier. It's kind of like
I don't know. AMC makes
it Skinamax.
Burn Notice kind of show.
Oh no, it's an HBO Max. You're right. It's an HBO Max.
Just Max.
Three months after it comes out.
I wouldn't want any show relegated to that hellhole.
No, I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying that's what it would be.
It would have been a Cinemax show.
Can I also say, like, Destro, like, if I'm just going through the mind of Destro, right? Destro is coming to Vegas. He's trying to keep a low profile. So 7 foot tall Destro is wearing, again, pleated pants, a cowboy hat, and he's surrounded by two bodyguards who seemingly are clones of each other. Mm-hmm. He could not be standing out more. And it must just be to get into the hotel.
No, this is fucking Vegas. He doesn't stand out at all. There's like a dozen high rollers that are repping the exact same gear.
You know what?
That's
all right.
True.
You know what? I changed my mind. I agree with you. Good counterpoint, Chan.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you. Okay. I wrote here, what are these outfits? We've covered it. There's a Cobra base under Vegas, under this hotel. You take the elevator. In front of the Mirage.
They did not say that, but there's a fucking volcano in front of the Mirage. It's pretty dope. And I'm honestly really into this whole thing.
And there's a new cannon. They have this super Thor hammer cannon that's powered by power stones. And it's apparently, what percentage is it less than the one that they dealt with before?
It is the same Thor cannon.
It's just mini. It's a mini one.
But.
Yeah, but the size has been reduced by 32.6%. They're using all new technology.
Stop it. You don't know that. You don't possibly know that because Scarlet has a robot fly that flies around inside there and like scopes it all out. And through that camera, not even a GoPro, he's able to get 32.6% smaller. High tech, I think you're overselling it a little bit.
As someone who is very much into that whole thing of like, oh my God, the iPhones are like, there's going to be 3 millimeters larger next time. Can you imagine that? And there's a plus version that is actually, you know, has a completely different port, uses USB-C instead of lightning. This sort of dumb technological minutia where people like obsess over the tiniest little measurement things, that makes me smile.
Dumb, I would buy that this fly takes real-time measurements and like can upload them. And this dude immediately was like, oh, that looks smaller. Let me see how much smaller. Let me compare the old specs with the new specs. I buy it.
I'm not buying it.
His name isn't fucking Medium Tech. Dude knows his shit.
Oh, my God. All right. So, Tunnel. Okay. G.I. Joe now has to reformulate the plan. Tunnel Rat seems to think that R&R is still on the board and refuses to stop vacationing in the room where they are planning. They were talking about millions of lives at stake. And Tunnel Rat's like, you told me I was on vacation and I'm staying on vacation, dickheads. And I'm like, go F yourself. You do not deserve this job.
Listen, this is all about the work-life balance. This is a guy that turns off Slack at 5 p.m. And I think the Gen Z folk would enjoy him. No, Gen X, Gen Z.
This is a guy who turns off his Slack at 5 p.m., but his shift goes till 9. That's the problem.
No, they're supposed to be there on a vacation. He is the only one that's right. Like, he's like,
he's the only one that misunderstood. It was like, we're going for R&R, by which I mean we're going undercover. And everyone's like, yep, got it. Going to dress up as some fancy duds, going to go undercover. Tunnel Rat's like, I'm going to go to the buffet.
Tunnel Rat probably like had just done Molly, thinking like, okay, nothing's going to happen immediately. I'll take some Molly. It'll kick in. And like 5 hours from now, I'll be good to go. And so he like took it like 10 minutes before and was like, oh my God. This Molly is going to kick in the middle of this fucking mission. Oh, I got to get out of this somehow.
That actually tracks with a lot of things that are about to happen.
I know. Duke, his Molly kicks in.
I love that. I love that theory. I did not consider it.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Snowcat! Winning battles in the snow for G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe!
Battling the
G.I. Joe Snowcat holds 10 Joes, and it's got a missile rack and torpedo skis.
G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe Snowcat. Other Joe and Cobra figures and equipment sold separately from...
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Duke says, Tunnel Rat and Scarlet, you're the two that are going to infiltrate. Chan, I'm just going to introduce this next point in the show, and then I'd like you to take it from there, please. They say, let's bring Snake Eyes into this mission. And the Rhino, you know, vehicle that was parked just outside Vegas... Back door opens up and he just rolls out in a motorcycle and drives into Vegas.
Wait, what?
They did not bring Snake Eyes with them on their R&R. They left him in the car.
I didn't even notice him.
What?
At the beginning of this, I didn't know. Okay. I'm still waiting until we get there, but yeah. I guess I don't know how to feel about this because on the one hand, obviously Snake Eyes is like doing some like monk shit or whatever. Like he dude doesn't like rest for nobody. He's like always training or like being the best badass. On the other hand, we need to get Snake Eyes on motherfucking vacation.
No, Snake Eyes is the coolest of all of them.
I want him there to have some. I need more. I don't like the fact that there's no real sexual tension in this. It's just dudes ogling Scarlet and her being like, oh, but I'm so ugly. Why would you like me? I'm so ugly and I'm so awkward. I want Snake Eyes to show up and her to be like, oh, hey, dude. And then them to be like, yeah, you guys go on the mission. And then they're stuck in like a tight air vent together. And yeah, I want more adults in this children's cartoon.
Yeah, I think you just described what happens in comic books.
mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm.
too far. And also, and this is Scarlet is currently in the parking lot of what, the Bellagio? Which hotel was it, Chan?
The Mirage.
The Mirage, excuse me.
The Bellagio has the fountains. I was thinking maybe this is a play on the Bellagio.
I thought the Bellagio as well.
Yeah, but the Mirage has a legit volcano in front of it. So.
I think, let's face it, it's probably a mishmash a little bit. But
yeah, because they do, don't they show waterworks at some point as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they were like, let's take a bunch of things and smoosh them.
And so they're on this undercover mission. Work with me here. So Tunnel Rat like shoots himself out of a vehicle with a parachute and just lands in the parking lot when he could have just as easily driven there and gotten dropped off. Like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like this at all. He's very incompetent at his job.
I buy this. This is that one friend that you have that wears like a camel pack everywhere. And you're like, can you just get water at the restaurant? But like, because they paid for the camel pack and they want to be known as a camel pack guy, they wear it.
Except that fucking heavy duty flies him in. Like if he was doing his own goddamn thing, and was like, I got this. I'm going to fucking fly a plane over and then I'd be like, oh, you son of a bitch. But heavy duty, who is the person who's there to like rein his shit in, is like, okay, this sounds normal and cool.
He knows he's got to do something to burn off that molly.
No, but it's like, but they're also only like half a mile away. Why are they doing that? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any lick of sense.
And she is still dressed up undercover and he's all geared up. Like, what the fuck, man? Choose one.
Yeah, I did not. And also like, and so he lands on top of somebody's car and sets off a car alarm. And I just wrote here, I hate him. And we're infiltrating.
I do hate him. I also like, this is like delving deeper into this whole thing. Like Scarlet is fucking prepared and professional. And basically this whole episode is about what a fuck up that her coworker is, but she needs to smile through it and bail his ass out. And then at the end be like, thank you. I had a good time with you working together on this project. Mm-hmm. Even though I did 90% of it, I made all the Excel spreadsheets. And he was like, yeah, fuck yeah. We made a great team. I'm going to go tell the boss that I did most of the work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds deeply personal to me.
no, it's just literally every woman has a story like that. I guarantee you.
Anyway, so you have an opportunity here as a writer to show how both of their general skill sets complement each other. And I thought for a second we were going to get it. When the one like jumps up into the vent, well, the guards have their backs turned, then they help each other up through the vent. Yep. And I was like, okay, we're going to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately afterwards, they're hiding around a corner where a couple of guards are walking by. And a fly flies by Tunnel Rat. And he gets so unbelievably aroused and hungry.
I thought this was going to be like the fly's going to land on him. And he was like, achoo, or something along those lines.
No, I knew where we were going immediately.
I think we all had three different takes because I thought he thought this fly was the mechanical fly that they sent in and that they were going to get discovered. So he was like, I know, I'll eat it. But then he was like,
the one on their side? The one that Scarlet released?
Yeah. I thought he thought that was the fly, and he was like, shit, I better eat the evidence. But then as soon as he closed his mouth on it, he was like, nope, that's a real fly.
No, that is mm-mm. not the correct take. The thing about Tunnel Rat in previous episodes, we learned that he loves to eat bugs, and he cannot control himself, apparently, under any circumstances whatsoever and be a professional. Even when death is at stake, he has to jump out and eat the fly in front of the two guards and then smile at him and be like, ha ha, I made a wrong turn.
You want to do one of those things where like, I'm a creepy weirdo and I eat bugs. Fine. But to make it a compulsion to the point where you are going to blow the entire mission just to eat a random fly is fucking insane.
And yeah, even it's if insane. It was a mechanical fly, just let it pass. They don't know. You know? Like, it just, I hated this. I hate him so much. I just wrote here, I hate him.
Yeah. He should be fired. Honestly, if I was Scarlet at the end of this, I would be like, either he goes or I go, you guys.
Yeah. He does not belong in the team after this episode. And yeah, no one else agrees in the G.I. Joe squad. But okay, Cobra Commander, and I did like this. This Cobra Commander is many bosses I've had in the past. He says, I'm checking in. And Destro says, okay, we have the cannon. It's almost ready. We're on final checks. And it's our final test today. And Cobra Commander says, no, you promised today it would be ready. We're going to skip your final checks and you're going to have it ready today. And I don't want to say in the world of video game QA, I have had in previous destinations a similar experience, but it might have happened and might have crashed major games I was working on. Can't say any further. I'll just say, what the H, everybody. This hit me real, real, real hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thankfully, none of us have had bosses like that in the past, you know, right? Just Ray. And this is where I first noticed Destro has the gray skin, but we've already talked about that. So let's go ahead and move forward. Okay. Tunnel Rat and Scarlet have fought their way out of that embarrassingly terrible situation, and they're now in the air vents. Okay. Great. They need to blow off an air vent so they can get down below. And Tunnel Rat says, I am the explosives expert. I'm going to set up all of the explosives. And Scarlet's like, there's a little, like, too many explosives, right? Like, look, this is your area of expertise. And he goes, yes, exactly. This is my area of expertise. I'm the explosives guy. Don't double think me here. And then he uses paintball bombs instead of actual explosives. And Gene, I believe you wanted a sound pull.
I asked for this pull.
Yes, you did.
You take care of it, Tunnel Rat.
First say please. Huh?
All right, Tunnel Rat. Will you please open the grate?
Since you put it that way.
The fuck?
Yeah, that's the first thing. But then they also play a horrible jism sound when he squirts it on her face.
Play it further. I want to hear it.
Yeah, you heard that splurt, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, like first of all, she's clearly the more capable one on this mission. And then she's like, okay, cool, blow the grate because that's what we need to do to complete this mission. And he's like, say please, little bitch. And then she has to eat shit and actually say please. And then he fucks up and jizzes orange juice on her face. I hate it. I hate it.
It doesn't. For some reason, yeah, he's the demolitions expert who doesn't know the difference between explosives and paint bombs, which is a problem. This is not like oopsie, I made a little, you know, like I accidentally switched red for blue ink.
Mm-hmm.
This is I have deadly explosives and I don't know the difference between them and fake shit.
Remember the previous episode, he stole all the explosives out of the rhino so he could blow it out of the mud. I guess we just got lucky that it worked. Because he's incompetent.
Levels of...
And as Gina, I think, said in our messages, like, this is a mission they're on together. Why is he being like this? It's horrifying.
And especially like the fact that this episode started with him like lusting after her and ogling her and then asking her to dance. And now they're in an actual professional setting and he's like, say please. Like I just and it's even worse because, again, old Scarlet would have kicked his ass and old, this Scarlet yes. eats his shit. And at the end of this episode says, thank you for the shit, master.
Oh, yeah. Old Scarlet would have karate chopped him to the back of the head and set the explosives herself.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
I think the reason that I wanted her to hook up with Snake Eyes or Destro in this episode is because I wanted her to do something that she enjoys and that she wants to do and that reclaims some of that old... Like, she's just such an insufferable twat in this episode. Because she just like doesn't do like she's not like in what world would old Scarlet if would someone say please and her not like old Scarlet would have like grabbed his ear, twisted it and said please. And he would have said, OK, thank you for thank you for asking nicely. Yes. That's what. But like this, the fact that she just immediately like gives in is just so disappointing.
It's really upsetting. And moving forward, because we have to, because I just want to get out of this moment. It's so uncomfortable. Where did this sled come from? Because they're about to ride a two-person sled down the air ducts. And near as I could tell, this just appears from nowhere.
Eh. I mean, like, they knew we were going through ducts. So, yeah, sure. It's like some sort of thing to get them, you know, down there faster. They only got 30 seconds to make it past the... lasers. This is not a problem considering what else is happening.
Okay, fair. So, and if you're really into Tunnel Rat being incompetent at his job, boy, have I got a next scene for you, because the two of them are riding down the air ducts and High Tech, you know, he knows things. He has maps of the air ducts and systems of the building, and he can tell them which way to go, which way to turn, so they can end up in the room they're trying to get to. Except Tunnel Rat just doesn't listen to him at all and goes the absolute wrong way, literally ending in a dead end that shoots them out like hundreds of feet above where the cannon is and literally just shoots them out to where they would die if not for like intervention.
Hold up.
We need an answer, High Tech.
I choose right.
You're sure? What makes you think this is the way?
Why would you trust him?
Thank you.
Yeah, he has not. Yeah, I also hate this part. He has fucked up time and time again. And now he's like, put your life in my hands. Don't you trust me? Everything. Oh, God, I hate it.
And this wraps up why when Edward joined Cowboy Bebop in the famed Cowboy Bebop show, why I immediately got angry and tuned out from the show. It was a show about adults. Bounty hunters doing wonderful things and going on great adventures, and turned into that. It turned into that scene in the air ducts for every episode going forward. Chan, defend it.
Ed knew what the fuck they were doing. This asshole does not. There's
Yeah, you can't. I've got you flustered because you understand now how annoying and terrible, because they would be like, we have 3 days in space to get to our next destination. And then an hour later, they'd be like, oh, Edward ate all the food on the entire ship. Edward would meet the goddamn airlock in 2 seconds if Edward pulled that with anybody who was competent. Edward is Tunnel Rat. Tunnel Rat would eat all the food on the ship.
Are you saying that the Cowboy Bebop crew is not competent? That's
well, they're not because they let Edward run their lives.
I feel like there's some character who they keep around because he's like super lucky. Yeah, was it G.I. Joe? Was it fucking Shipwreck?
Shipwreck was a little lucky, wasn't he?
The reason why they kept him around, I thought that we were going to end up with something like that where they're like, well, this is why we keep him around, because like no matter how much things get fucked up, he manages to somehow
come scrape by.
You know what? That is Buzz Dixon's novelization, Most Dangerous Man in the World version of Shipwreck.
We also, like, when we first meet Shipwreck, isn't he like in a bar fight that he ends up handling himself, that you don't think he's going to be able to, and then and then he gets recruited for G.I. Joe.
Yeah, he's in, if I remember this, and this is very old knowledge, but he was in a bar fight.
This is why we gotta rewatch it.
We do. And he had like these like sailing ships that sailed through the sand with like wind power, and then the Joes needed to get out of that city, so he let them use his vehicles, and then they all got out together, and then they invited him to join G.I. Joe.
Yeah, like he proved himself capable in some way.
Yeah, Edward and Cowboy Bebop just took them hostage. Funny. What a character. Anyway, Destro.
You're not right about this.
I'm 100%. Look, Cowboy Bebop, one of the greatest shows, one of the greatest animes of all time, ruined. Just straight up ruined. And they wait for like a dozen, maybe 10 episodes. Was it 7 episodes? They go a little while before they introduce this albatross to the show. And then every episode is about the albatross. And it's terrible. It's oh my gosh. What if Cousin Oliver was brought in halfway through season 1 instead of 4 years down the line? Unnecessary. Anyway, I have an axe to grind. I have a bone to pick. I have an Edward to flush out of an airlock.
I have a bone to grind.
God damn
it, penis.
So Destro is one of my favorite lines. I legitimately laughed out loud when this line was said, and this couple of lines. And I asked Chan to pull it. So Destro sees what's happening around him. He sees Scarlet and Tunnel Rat fly through the ceiling, ostensibly, in this airline hangar, essentially, and barely clinging to walls, barely hanging on for life. Tunnel Rat makes his way down to the ground, almost in spite of himself, and Destro says,
"You two are even more incompetent than my subordinates."
Now that's really hitting below the belt, sir.
Silence!
I laughed out loud at that line. I love the fact that the subordinate returns fire. I love that the subordinate's like, Destro, that's a little too far. That's a little rude, man. That kills me. That I loved it. That moment was worth it for this episode alone.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, agreed.
I liked it a lot. Now Scarlet fights people and generally wrecks them. Because I can't get enough terrible Tunnel Rat in this episode, they're going to give me more. Scarlet and Tunnel Rat end up running towards the cannon. In some way, I don't know exactly how this works, but like they run near the cannon, so Cobra doesn't want to shoot at them for fear of hitting the cannon, and they kind of duck around a corner into like a little, you know, assembly room, whatever the heck it is. And within 1.5 seconds, Tunnel Rat is trapped by like a series of cables hanging from the ceiling. He's hanging from the ceiling, tied up in cables that no reasonable human, trained or otherwise, would get themselves tangled in.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Gina, how did this happen?
I zoned out when I started thinking about killing Tunnel Rat in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Tunnel Rat not only is stuck in the cables, he says, "Ah, oh, I've been ruining the mission." Like, he won't even get himself out of the cables. He needs Scarlet to, like, build him up so that way he'll have the inner strength to get out of the predicament that he himself is in because he's a moron. And so he's like, I guess I'm just going to
reassuring him.
Yes.
It, like, instead of just doing the mission. This is a dude that didn't do the project for work that then when he fucks up, he's like, "I'm sorry, I fucked up." And the woman is like, "Oh no, you did your best, sweetie." And hates it.
It's not here, even, I'd say it's worse
your
than
work
that.
For you.
Yeah. I'd say Tunnel Rat's the person who goes, "Man, guys, I'm sorry. I didn't add enough to the project. I'm not going to send the file. I'm just not going to send it. I didn't do enough. Guys, we're all going to fail together."
Everyone's at fault here. Everyone is at fault for enabling this person.
And literally, he basically is hanging from these cables, and he's like, "I guess I'm just going to stay here forever and die. Unless you tell me that I'm worth it." Like, kill me!
"I don't belong on this mission."
"Duke picked you because he believed in you. And so do I."
"You do?"
"Of course."
"So then you still want to be teammates with me, Scarlet?"
"Absolutely."
How much shit does Scarlet eat in this episode? It is so upsetting.
Also, this is every like woman who has to like let a dude down that she's like not interested in and then is concerned that she like let him down too hard. And then when she's like, "Hey, you know what? Like, I'm sorry." And they're like, "Oh, so you do want to date me?" It's like, you can't win here. She can't win.
I feel deeply called out right now. So Tunnel Rat gets himself out of the cables because now he's inspired. And he throws grenades at Destro, which turn out to be confetti. With a happy birthday ribbon that sticks to his head in a very awkward way.
I enjoyed this visual.
The visual's funny, but the idea that his henchmen turn and go,
"Oh, I didn't know it was your birthday, sir. Are we going to have a cake?"
What is happening on this episode of G.I. Joe?
That's not great.
That's not good.
Not great.
I mean, he did say earlier, like, "You guys are even more incompetent than my own workers," and they're just sort of proving him right now.
But the problem is, and I have this theory about Tunnel Rat in this episode, and I have a it's like a character archetype. Tunnel Rat is incompetent at literally everything he does, right? He does nothing right. He makes every choice wrong. His emotions are completely the opposite of where they should be in every situation possible, but he also drags the incompetence out of every other person that he's around. Like, it's some sort of magnet, because all of Destro becomes deeply incompetent in this episode. All his henchmen become deeply incompetent in this episode. Everybody becomes stupid. And I do not like it when plots do this, but it is, I guess, a trope.
Is it?
I think so.
A trope? Where?
I'm thinking of like the horror monster where like electronics don't work around him. And so therefore all the machines and the power just shut down. If he's in the room, your cell phone doesn't work anymore. Much like that trope. Whenever Tunnel Rat is within eye contact of you, you drop 100 IQ points and you suddenly can't tie your shoes.
All right.
And I say that because Destro gets mad at his subordinate, picks him up and throws him into the console, which miraculously presses the exact buttons necessary for the cannon to basically self-destruct itself and blow out the chamber.
Yeah.
Scarlet and Tunnel Rat do F all anything. Destro self-errors himself into defeat here. What else can be said? Like, this is a terrible, terrible story.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, if they justified it, if they, at the end of this, they're like, oh my God, you almost got us all killed. You almost destroyed, you know, like the hotel, and thousands of people would have died on the strip. But like, somehow you did it. And then, you know, like, they send him away and they're like, why does this keep happening? And Duke's like, I mean, that's the only reason I keep him around, because every time he does that, like, he somehow manages to pull it out. As much as a fuck up as he is, somehow things always work out around him. If they had just done that, I would have been like,
okay.
Oh, yeah. That makes total sense. Like, yeah, this guy's a, we hate him, but also it makes, absolutely. I get why you would do that, and why you would do it again.
And his track record would speak for itself at that point. I'm actually okay with that as a plot point, but that is not what we do.
That is not what we do.
That is not what we do at all.
Here's how this episode could have gone.
Thank you.
They go to Vegas. Destro is making a deal with some Vegas shady crime lord. The crime lord ends up double crossing him and either kidnapping someone or putting a bomb somewhere or putting a little explosive in each of their heads. And so they have to pull off a heist and rob the casino, Ocean's 11 style, with Destro. The Joes team up with Destro to pull off a heist in order to placate this much larger crime lord. Okay. That's the Vegas episode I want to see. That's the G.I. Joe Vegas episode I want to see. In Ocean's 11, where they're paired up with Destro. And Destro inevitably double crosses them at the end, but they've somehow triple crossed him so that he ends up with just an empty briefcase when he thought he was going to get a power stone or money or something.
Love it. Great.
Yeah. I'm great Print with
it,
that.
Ship it.
Yeah, ship it. Let's go. Instead, G.I. Joe's going to send everybody in to rescue Scarlet and Tunnel Rat. Tunnel Rat finds a way out involving a patch on the wall, and it takes us into the water filtration systems.
Yeah, hold on. They're going to do...
Is everything okay? Do you need me to send in Snake Eyes?
If you could have just sent in Snake Eyes at the beginning of this, why wouldn't you have done that?
It's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. I got no answers. Like, Snake Eyes was like on call this entire episode and never used. It's mostly upsetting. So... Scarlet and Tunnel Rat get themselves into a water pipe and end up in a geyser event out in front of the casino. And he says,
it's
man,
a volcano. That's what they shoot out water with, like, you know, like a light. So it looks like, oh, it's lava. It's
And Tunnel Rat turns to Scarlet and goes, man, we almost had it. We almost got that power stone. That would have made this perfect. And Scarlet's like, you underestimate me. On top of literally doing all the work this entire time, I also got the Power Stone somehow. At which point Tunnel Rat says, boy, we sure make a great team. But no.
No.
No, you don't.
We make a great solo.
And instead of karate chopping him to the head and leaving him unconscious, she's like, we sure do, buddy. And he's like, so I might get to touch your boob one day? And she's like, well, I don't want to say no.
I don't want to say no because of how you might react.
Yeah, this dude is absolutely someone who turned into a creepy stalker / murderer.
And then we all agree, Cobra's been defeated. We're all back on vacation in Vegas. End the episode. This one was frustrating.
Exhausting.
You
wanted to like explain gender dynamics to an alien race to whom it just sounds insane. You could show them this episode and be like, see, they would still think it's insane, but they would be like, I mean, I guess some dudes are terrible and some women are forced to deal with it.
Because Scarlet cares about the mission and all she's doing is putting her head down and trying to win the mission. And he is getting in the way over and over and over again. And even when he comes through at the end, does he really? Does he really? If it wasn't for him, she would not have been in that position to need desperate help. Merlin's pissed about it.
Merlin's trying to pee the memory away.
I don't blame him. I would too. Anyway, that is G.I. Joe Sigma 6, Episode 8, Vacation. Y'all, I did not like this one. Did not care for this episode. Generally, I've been fairly neutral. I want to like Sigma 6. I like that they're trying to do a thing. They're playing with the tropes. They're playing with what G.I. Joe can be. But they are not hitting the mark nearly as much as I wish they were. Gina, how would you save the show?
I would have it end with a scene of Scarlet in bed with Destro and okay. her being like, thanks. Sometimes it's really tough to take those coworkers of mine. And he's like, I understand. I'm here anytime you want to hook up.
Oh, damn. That's how it works?
I mean, in the Hasbro world, obviously.
All right. Into it. All right. Well, that's our episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. I have no idea if this is a long episode or a short one because I talked so much at the front about miniature horror games. I did talk a lot. Chan was correct in starting the show without me, just for the record.
Yeah, he's always correct in starting the show without you.
Wish I could do it more.
Wait, you are usually interrupting me from starting the show. Anyway, we have a Facebook group, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Fairly active. You get on there, do a thing. But otherwise, we have patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Check your stuff if you are a patron, because Patreon sent us emails saying that some weird thing on their side caused a bunch of payments to be declined. So if you suddenly lost access, just try to run the card again or something. I don't know. It's weird. If you're a patron, you're probably still here talking to me.
I saw something about that on Twitter. It said like it booted all the Patreon subscribers off of. Yeah, there was someone complaining about it and saying like all of my Patreon subscribers disappeared. And now I have to like contact them again.
Yikes.
I was actually wondering if it was going to happen with us. So yeah, if you're something wonky is going on with Patreon right now.
And you know what? We just appreciate you. We're doing a bunch more of your episodes coming up, and we just appreciate you supporting the show. It does help us to improve the show. Like, we wouldn't have all this fancy equipment if it wasn't for our patrons. So just thank you in general for being a part of it. We'd like to do more. We just don't always make good decisions or know how. But we are trying to do some of the episodes you've suggested. So thank you for being a part of our Patreon just like that. Otherwise, you can find us on Threads. I'm on Threads at AlmightyRay316. That's a thing. Since that X thing is destroyed, it's broken. It's the worst website. What happened? What happened to Twitter?
I don't know. It's being dragged out just like the outro of this show.
But these are normal parts of our outro. How dare you?
Yeah, except that usually of late I've been cutting the show off like a little early. So
even get to this. Do you take a man, heavy duty on the scene, snake guys hand to hand, long range, lean and mean, Scarlet ready to fight.
Whenever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back. Yo, Joe! Be a hero! G.I. Joe will turn the tide! Be a hero! Sigma 6 is on your side! Be a hero! Be the best of the best! Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there. Sigma 6!
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.